You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
You know, last week we started a new series, Take Your Seat. And this series is all about finding your home, finding a place to call home. I said to you last week that at this church here, you are accepted. You're accepted. You need to know that when you come here, there's no need to put on a mask, no need to pretend to be someone you're not. If you are struggling with something, I need you to understand that we as your family, we stand with you. We accept you, we embrace you, we welcome you. There's no need to put on a mask and be someone you're not. If you are someone where you are at a season where things are so spiritually dry and you want to see 2019 be a year where there's such intimacy with Jesus Christ, you don't have to come here and say, I've got it all. Or, things are good, my prayer life is good. No, you can come here and say, I struggle and I need someone to help me because I want to grow in that area. We stand with you. We accept you. I do know that when you put on a mask, when you be someone you're not, it's very tiring. Is that right? It's very draining. It's like going to the high school reunion and being someone you're not. You know, it is just so tiring. And the new series, Take Your Seat, is a series where we want you to know that this is like family. This is like your home, that you can come here and take your seat and feel loved and feel accepted and be the person you are. No one is perfect. No one is perfect in this building here. If you think you're perfect, if you think you have it made, well, maybe, I don't know why you're here. You should be with Jesus in heaven. As long as you're still alive, we're all struggling with something. But we have a perfect God who's going to help us. And a bride, the church, who's not perfect, but we'll do things together so that we grow in the Lord. Amen. Last week, I saw the decor on stage, and I thank you so much for the church for creating a beautiful backdrop. They made it look like a living room with a sofa, and I saw it, and I was like, wow, that is so good. But I felt, you know what, there was missing something. I don't know if you remember last week, it didn't really look like my living room. It didn't really look like home. And I said, I had to do so. I had to add some final touches. And I kind of grabbed the Dockers topper here and I had it there. This is a wonderful gift that someone from church gave me. And I realized, you know, at my house, the Dockers scarf is usually around here somewhere. I've got the wonderful Dockers top here. I mean, that now looks more like home. That now encourages me to take my seat and be part of the family and go, wow, we can be family now. And you know this baby here? This thing here? This here is a jersey from 2007 signed by all the mighty Freo Docker players. They all signed this. And this here, after this, because next week, I'm pretty sure the next preacher would probably customize this stage, but after this sermon, it's going back to my office. It's hung in my office wall with pride. I love this. In fact, if you ever decide to take this off my office and replace it with something else, then we've got an issue. I mean, you look at the color here. Purple, green, red, and white. I mean, don't you admit that color combo is so beautiful. That is perfection. That is the best. The green. Where's Zanette? Where's my head of design? Zanette, all those years, I don't know where Zanette is, but all those years of design school, I'm pretty sure your lecturer would have told you that color combination of green and red and purple and white, when you put that triangle, that quadrant together, that is perfection. You replace that with gold and blue, we have a problem. Gold and blue doesn't match. But when it comes to green and white and red and purple, this is wonderful. And if you ever decide to replace this or remove this or hide this or even damage this, we've got a problem. Here's the reason why. Because what we love and what we really enjoy and what we really value, we always protect. Isn't it true? That the things that is important to me, what I really value, what I really enjoy, whether it's this top here, if you ever decide to burn this or hide this or replace this or paint this with another color, we protect. Isn't that right? The thing or the people that we love and value, we always find ourselves protecting. My family, my wife and my children, Tran and my three kids, I love them. I value them. And if anyone comes along and tries to harm them or hurt them, I will do whatever I can to defend and protect them. Would you agree with me? I mean, I got an amen. I got an amen. 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 I mean, I didn't watch those Jackie Chan movies for no reason. Rush Hour 1, Rush Hour 2, Shanghai Noon. You know, because if anyone messes with my wife or my kids, I will do whatever I can to defend and protect them, because what I love, who I love, I will always find myself defending. Would you agree with me? I think so. And this morning, I want to talk about protection that you find in God's family. That when you take your seat and when you come here and this becomes your home and we become family, then you ought to expect that there is protection, because, as I said, those we love, things that we value, we always find ourselves protecting. And if we are family, and if you come here and you take your seat and you call this place home, and we begin to realize that, hey, we're not just people, we're actually family, then you ought to expect that there's protection coming your way. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That there is protection in this church for those who says, yeah, this is my home. That I'm going to take my seat here and become comfortable here and come here knowing that I'm accepted for who I am, that there's no need to put on a mask. I may not be perfect. No one is perfect. But I know that my family here, this church, Sun Life, will protect me, because those we love, we protect. Amen? And here's the reason why. 2 points of my sermon. The first reason is because God protects us. If you're taking notes, God protects us. I am so convinced as I read the Bible that we are so loved by God. I am so convinced that when I read Scripture that God so loved the world. He loves you, He loves me, He loves us with an unconditional love, and nothing can ever separate God's love for you. I know that in life there are moments where you go, I can't experience that love, I don't experience that love, I don't want to believe in that love, but I want you to hear from me that God's love for you is unconditional, and there's nothing that can separate God's love for you in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. There it is, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate God's love for us. In fact, we read the Bible and we find that God's love, if you understand this, is a verb. It's a motion. Something happens. You read the Bible, and what does God do when He loves us? He adopts us. Is that right? It's right. We studied Romans last year. God's love for you meant that God would adopt you into His family. And you know adoption, there's a choice. Is that right? Is that right? Because when you adopt something, there's a choice to say yes or no. I was at Darren and Daphne's house. I don't know if they're here. Oh, yeah, Darren's here. Darren and Daphne's house here. They just introduced me to this cute little dog, Daiso. Or is it Daiso? Daiso. Dyson. Daiso. Sorry, Daiso. Daiso. I mean, we're talking this pure, it's beautiful, perfect, pure, pedigree, Stafford puppy. I mean, it's like beautiful. There's Darren. There's Daphne. They've got two boys, Darius, Darian. Now they've got Dyson. And then I'm praying for a Daisy one day, man. Come on. That could be prophetic there. I'm praying for a Daisy now and maybe a Dorothy and then a dinosaur. I don't know, right? But here I'm at their house and they're going, Pastor, check out this little cute puppy. And I'm like, oh, this is so cute. I could eat it. You know, I could love it. And then I realized something. The reason why they adopted or bought this dog was because it was their ideal dog. It was beautiful. It was a pedigree. I'm not going to mention how much it costs because you probably fall off your seat. I did. Can't believe we pay that much for a dog. But that's where the world is. It was beautiful. Perfect. It was a pedigree. Perfection. No scabs, no blemishes. And they adopted it and are good on them. But when I read the Bible, God's love for me and you and how he adopted us, we were not beautiful. We were not attractive. I mean, we were not pure. We were not innocent. We were not pleasing. We were far from that. But he would still say, I want you. I choose to adopt you. And I'm not looking on the outside. I'm not looking on the inside. I love you so much that I'm going to call you mine regardless of what you look like or how you're behaving or your background. I love you so much. And you're mine. That's God's choice. You're mine. And the Bible clearly says that those whom God loves, which are us, God says you're mine. I adopt you into my family. And if God has loved us like that, and if God has adopted us, and we know that God gave up his son for us, surely he would give up many other things for us. I mean, you think about that. If God gave up his son for you and me, surely he would give us many other things. Paul would say this in Romans 8 again, verse 32. He did not spare his own son, but gave up his son for us, right? How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Can you see that? See what the text is saying? If God has given up his son because he loves us, surely he'll give us many other things. And I believe one of the things that God gives us is protection. Why? He loves us. Therefore, he protects us. The psalmist writes this in Psalms 121. We'll look through this chapter here. Verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I look up to the mountains. Where is my help? Oh, my Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In verse 7 of the same chapter, the Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. See what he's saying right there? There's a God who protects you, who protects me. He's watching over us. We go back to verse 5 and 6 in that chapter of Psalms 121. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day. Here's the context of this psalm here. It's a wonderful image because the people understood this psalm, especially those who worked out in the desert. You know, in the Middle East, the Mediterranean sun is such a harsh sun. People would know that if you stand out in the sun, you would burn. You could literally die within a matter of hours. That's the reason why in my family, when we go to the beach, there's this one thing that we always bring along. We would never, ever go to the beach without this beach tent. You know one of those beach tents? It's like a half umbrella, half tent. We would always erect that up. And I know I tan pretty well. I tan pretty well. But my wife, she doesn't tan that well. And I love her for that. I thank God for melanin. I thank God for protection. But I also know myself that if I stand out in the sun, playing with my kids and my wife, that matter of hours we'll get burnt. So every now and then we find ourselves where? Inside this little tent, right? Why? Because the shade protects us from the sun. That's the image there. But the psalmist is saying is that all these shepherds and pastors and people working in the Middle East with that harsh, you know, Mediterranean sun, the rays, who is going to protect you? Who is going to keep you safe? Well, the Lord is my shade. The Lord is the one who covers me. The Lord is the one I could take refuge. It is a wonderful picture of a God who provides shelter and covering from the harsh Mediterranean rays. That is a God who protects. A God who protects you and protects me. Or how about Psalms 23, that wonderful psalm? Even though I walk through the dark valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's a picture of a shepherd. Is that right? With a rod and with a staff. And I believe the rod and the staff are two different items with two different purposes. The staff may have a little hook around it to really hook and pull the sheep back in line. Hey, that's dangerous. Don't go close to that edge. You might fall and hurt yourself. And pull the sheep back in line. But the rod, it doesn't have a hook. I believe it's like a club to defend and fight off the predator. Here's a picture of a shepherd who watches over his flock. A picture of a God who protects you and I. That's a great God. A God who protects us. And we read through the Bible and we see in the New Testament in John 10, what does Jesus say? He says that I am the good shepherd. Is that right? They know my name. I know them. John 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. They know I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What a wonderful picture. I'm holding them in the palms of my hand. No one will ever snatch them from my hand. Why? Because I'm a God who keeps everyone safe. I'm a God who protects my people. That's a great God. A God who protects you and protects me. You know, some years ago, I'm driving up on the freeway with my brother-in-law, Phil. Phil won't forget this. He's laughing, but he shouldn't be laughing. I'll tell you why. We're going up Mitchell Freeway at 100 k's an hour, maybe 110, maybe 112, I don't know. The limit is 110, right? Yeah, James, what is it? No, 100, there you go. I need to change my glasses. Anyhow, I'm going up the freeway and we're driving along and we're in our little car and we're doing what we're doing. And then we notice this huge truck, one of those big trucks that you see on the freeway. And we're talking like a big truck, like one of those trucks that are designed to never break down, those robust, indestructible, you know, made to last trucks. And we noticed this truck here had wheels, many wheels, not four wheels, like I think maybe up to 12 wheels, maybe 10 wheels. You know, one of those big trucks with big wheels, all right? And now it's in front of us, and we're driving, and we are going probably 100 k's, maybe less, 95 k's. And then I noticed that, Phil and I noticed there were sparks, hey, Phil? There were sparks coming. And we go, oh, this is so funny. There's sparks. There's fireworks. Australia Day is happening a bit earlier, right? And we see these sparks coming out from one of the back wheels. And we're like, all right, this is interesting. And next minute, we're talking big wheel. We're not talking small wheels. We're talking big wheel. That big wheel decided to get out and leave the pack. I don't know. It just had a boycott. It had just left. And now everything is now in slow motion. I kid you not. It's like the movies. We're driving behind this truck, and now this big wheel is bouncing towards us. I don't know whether we're going towards the wheel or the wheel is going towards us, but right now we're both coming towards each other, and everything is in slow motion. Now, you do your maths. Those physics teachers, if I'm traveling at 100 k's an hour, and that wheel is probably coming towards me at 75, 80 k's an hour, that is high velocity. Now it's all in slow motion, and then the wheel begins to bounce right for my car, and it has one bounce just immediately before my car, and for some reason it bounced right over our windscreen, right over the car, and we laughed, I feel, and the laugh became I could have seen Jesus. We could have seen Jesus. And we laugh about that. But you know what was really, really sad? I read the papers yesterday. I don't know if you read the paper. One Aussie bloke is now fighting for his life because he was driving behind a car and for some freak accident, the back windscreen of the car or shield went flying towards his car and smashed into his windscreen, and now he's fighting for his life. And this is a wheel, a big wheel, coming towards us. And can you imagine the impact? What would have happened if that smashed into our windscreen at 100 k's an hour, glass shattered, losing control, maybe the car flipping and tumbling? I tell you right now, it would have been game over. I would have been in the presence of Jesus. My wife would have been a widow. Tao would have been a widow. We would have been in the presence of Jesus right now. Every now and then, Phil and I, we talk about that and we laugh over that. But you know what? As I think about that, clearly, God is not done with me yet. Clearly, there's a God who's protecting me and watching over me and watching over you. That's a great God. And most of the time when God protects us, we're not even aware of it. When I did Bible college and we talked about divine healing and divine protection, most of the time we're not even aware of it because something's already taken place. And maybe your car is going through the light, and there's another car that ran through the red light. Maybe a minute after your car went through and God has already protected you. I was in a car accident with my wife when we were dating 20 years ago, and the ambulance officer, the paramedic, said to me, because they had to cut me out, he said, "You could have easily died, young man. Any second later, or the car faster, you'd been gone, because it was a T-bone. I broke my arm just out of sheer impact. God was not done with me yet. God is protecting me." But I want to say this to you before I move to my next point here, is that the Christian life is not a life where you live in a bubble, like one of those cool bubbles where, you know, you hop in and you roll down the hill and you can knock people over and not hurt yourself. The Christian life is not like that. If people say to you, become a Christian because it's going to be great, God protects you, and you live in a bubble and you're insulated and everything's going to be rosy, no, I don't see that in Scripture. We live in a fallen world. It's a corrupt world. There will be illnesses. There will be sudden death. My mate had to fly from Sydney over yesterday morning because his mother died suddenly last night at 10:30. That's just life, and she loves the Lord. I'm not saying that God protects you and you live in a bubble and everything's fine. You would still struggle. There will still be illnesses. There will be marital breakups. There will be financial loss. You'll lose your job. But this is the one thing you need to understand, that if God loves me and His love for me does not change, whatever I go through, I may not see it as being God's protection, but I have to still believe and have the faith that God is still protecting me. I might not like the season I'm going through, I may not like the hardship, the outcome, but I'm going to believe that God loves me, and I believe in the Word of God that He's protecting me. And I don't know what is around the corner, and sometimes God's protection of me is to take me home in His presence. That's God's protection. Remember Joseph in Genesis, where he was sold to slavery, beaten, bashed up by his brothers, and what would he say? In Genesis 50:20, he says this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I need you to hear me carefully, church, that maybe for some of you right now, you feel that God is not protecting you. You feel that God doesn't love you. You feel that God is out to get you. No, I want you to hear from me that God loves you. God adopted you. God gave you His Son. Surely He'll give you protection. But sometimes in the midst of your struggles and your difficulties, don't forget that God still loves you and God is protecting you, and you do not know what is around the corner. Keep at it. Keep walking forward. We worship a God who protects us. We don't understand the meaning of life. We don't understand sudden death. We don't understand illnesses. We don't understand car accidents and all that. But we need to know the Word of God stands forever. And God loves you, God adopts you, and God is protecting you. Here's my second point here, that if God is protecting us, we have to protect one another. You come here, we will protect you. Here's the reason why. You have to understand this. If God says, "I love the church, I love my bride, I love everyone here," we have a responsibility to protect and care for one another. Can you imagine if only half of you cared and the other half didn't care? Can you imagine that? Imagine our church, say the back half didn't really care, and the front half, you cared, then there's something wrong. Half of the church will be protected, half of the church will be loved. But if God says, "I love my church, I love them all, this is my bride, Therefore, God expects everyone here to be protected. That means that when you come here and this becomes your home and you take your seat and you become family with us, you have to expect that we're protecting you. Because God wants that. God wants to see that. And when we are loving each other, when we are caring for each other, and we are protecting one another, wow, that's a beautiful picture of God's bride. When we are not caring for each other, and when we're not protecting each other, and we're gossiping, and we're at one another, and we hate one another, that's not the picture of God's bride. I don't know what that is. That's the Collingwood Football Club. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But the church here, we have to love and protect each other. And I believe that as a church, we will protect each other in three ways. Past, tragedy. Present, difficulty. And future, destiny. And that's how I see we ought to protect each other. Let me go through that before I finish up. The first one is past tragedy. Listen carefully. We all need to understand and admit that we all come from broken backgrounds. No one is perfect here. If you are perfect here, if you think that your upbringing is perfect, if you think you've got it all sussed out, you shouldn't be here. You should be with Jesus by now. Every one of us, we're not perfect. We're all broken. So if you come here and you go, man, I am so broken, welcome to the club. Welcome to Sun Life Broken Church. Welcome to the club. We're all broken. We're all hurt people. We have done things that we're not proud of. But when you come here, we will protect you. And we will remind you that you are forgiven by God. We will remind you that your past will never dictate what God has in store for you tomorrow. We will remind you that you may have certain backgrounds, upbringing, that may explain the way you behave, explain the way you respond, or the way you think. But you know what? That doesn't define you, because in Christ, He defines you, that you are now new. The old gone, the new is here. We will remind you and we will protect you from your past hurts. When you come forward here for prayer and for ministry, I thank you because you're being real to me. If you're saying that, you know what, my upbringing is perfect, I'm a good Christian, I read the Bible, I pray before I eat, I fast, I do this, well, you know what, I don't think so. Because we're all broken. We're all broken. And our job is to protect one another from our past. Because you know what happens, right? The past is always whispering, look what you did. Something I did a week ago that I wasn't proud of. It wasn't a sin. It was something that I was going, oh, I wish I did it better. And it kept telling me, how bad have you been? You're not worthy. You can't be a pastor. You couldn't handle that situation. Oh, I kid you not. It bothered me for like the first 3 days of the week. By Wednesday night, I got rid of it. And your past will begin to say things like, look at that. Look at the way you behave. That's because you were brought up like that. Your past will say that. But you come here, we're going to speak life. We're going to speak truth. We're going to speak love and say, that's not you. That's not you. You're loved here. You're accepted here. You're protected here. We do this together. Look forward. Don't look back. Look forward. There's a movie called, I think it's called Sandra Bullock, Bird Block, Bird Box or something. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks good. Some of you, you're looking back. Get the blindfold and cover your eyes, man. Stop looking back. Look forward. Move forward. Let us help you move forward. You know what Paul says? Paul says in Philippians 3, but one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Why? Towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm going to look forward, I'm going to press on, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to look back. You come here, we will protect you. We say to you, you know what, don't look back at your past hurts. Don't look back at your past failures. Don't look back at your past pain. You can use it to help you grow, but don't look back. Don't dwell on it. We've got a new Connect Group ministry taking place this year, and one of the Connect Group is about finding freedom. Especially about finding freedom. For some of you, you're in a situation where you keep looking back. You're hearing that voice. It's constantly saying, you're not good enough. This is the reason why this is happening to you. This new Connect Group ministry is all about finding freedom. That we believe that in the Word of God, in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can break away from that. That's going to happen this year. If that is you, I want you to be part of that group. I want you to belong there. We will protect you from your past tragedy. But also, we will protect you from your present difficulty. Right now. Stuff that you're going through right now. Are you telling me you have nothing going on right now? Are you telling me you're perfect? Oh, wow. That's great. But I know I'm struggling. I've got stuff that I'm trying to deal with. I've got my little demons I'm trying to destroy every day. If you've got present difficulties, present suffering, present hardship, stuff that's going on that you're not proud of, that you go, oh, well, no, it's bothering me, it's upsetting me, then I want you to know that we're here to protect you. We're here to do this together. We're here to say to you, you know what, we're going to cover you in prayer. We're going to visit you. We're going to pray for you. You know, last week I was talking to our family who had an incident at home, and I spoke to the wife, and she said to me, I said to her, well, you know, what can I do to help? She goes, pray. I'll pray. I'll get people to pray for you. But is there anything I can do to help you? She goes, well, I need to be free to do what I have to do. Can you ensure that my family is safe? I said, great. How can I do that? How can I protect? How can I cover your family besides for prayer? We were doing that anyway. Can you just cook meals? I said, got it. Easy. I'm onto it. Made a few phone calls. Because no way I'm cooking. That's no protection there, man. No way I'm cooking. Made a few phone calls. Bang! I don't know what happened next, but I'm pretty sure the family was fed for the whole week. Right now, if there's things going on that you're struggling with, it's bothering you, we want to protect you. We want to say, we're doing this together. We have a team, an intercessory prayer team. Let's pray. You don't need to know who they are. Pray. Dial a prayer. Bang! They'll pray for you. You've got something bothering you. You're walking to a job interview and you're not quite sure because you're quite nervous. We'll protect you. We'll cover you in prayer. Something's happened to your child. Something's happened to you. Your marriage is not going well. These people are not pastoral people. They're not going to call you up. They're going to check on you. They're going to pray. We send a message out there. They give them the need and they pray. You can tell who they are. They've got the ripped jeans at church. No, they don't. They're the cool young guys, right? We've got a pastoral care team in our church. And all they will do is they'll visit you. They'll encourage you. They'll check in you. So how are you going? Are you all right? They'll never point fingers. They never say, oh, look how bad you are. Oh, you're not good enough. You're not praying enough. If they ever do that, you tell me, they're gone. They will just come and say, can I pray with you? Can I cry with you? Can I just sit there with you? Can we read the Bible together? Can I protect you in any way I can? We have that in our church. You don't have to come here and do life alone. Because when you take your seat, and when this is family, and we start going for the Dockers, right? We're really, really family, right? Because then we're going to really say to you, how can we protect you? How can we cover you? How can we really love you? What are you going through? You don't have to do this alone. Present difficulties. And finally, future destiny. Let me explain here that you and I need to understand that we're all on a journey. And I'm not talking about the journey into the presence of God. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about we're going and spending eternity with Jesus. That's a given. But listen carefully. We are all on a journey. God has saved you. And you're on a journey to bring glory to God. That is your journey. That is my journey. You are saved not for yourself. The gospel doesn't stop with you. The gospel ends with God. You are saved and you are on a journey like me to bring glory to God. Jesus says we're to be salt and light of this world. Read on Matthew 5:16. What does he say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. You and I, we are on a journey to live a life that we bring glory to God. That's the reality. It's not for you. You're not a Christian for your own benefit. You're a Christian because God has saved you for His glory. You are on that journey. So am I. Because one of these days, you and I, we're going to stand before God. That's the reality. Whether you like it or not, you stand before God. You either stand before God, tears, trembling because you're in trouble, or joyful tears. But you stand before God and God will ask you, what have you done? On that journey, what have you done? Romans 14, Paul says this, "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." You see that? "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that each of us will give an account of himself to God." That is the fear of God in me, that one of these days I will stand before God and God will say, "Hey, Ben, I gave you the joy to become a pastor. What have you done? That journey that I placed you on, did you bring glory to me or to yourself or to this church?" You will stand before God. I will stand before God. You know, in the gospel, there's a parable of the talents. Remember? Matthew 25. Let me read parts of it. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave five, another two, and another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." Verse 19. "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came to settle accounts with them." There's a reason why Jesus tells us the parable. That God has given us something. First of all, the grace to receive him as Lord. And now we're on a journey. And one of these days, he's going to return and says, "Hey, what have you done with it? Did you bring glory to me? Or did you bring glory to yourself?" We need to understand that if we're on a journey to this great future destiny, to protect you is to speak into your situation so that you are not derailed from that journey. Do you understand that? The reason why we need to protect each other is because the evil one, if he cannot get us to sin, he will distract us. And what happens? We find ourselves going on a different journey to a different end goal. If your end goal is to bring glory to God, your family here, we will do whatever we can to see you meet your end goal. As soon as you begin to derail or be distracted, you know what? We're going to stop it. That's what I mean by protection. I was driving to meet someone in South Perth recently, probably 6 months ago. I don't know if this ever happened to you. Right? I'm driving down the freeway. This time, thank God, no trucks, no wheels. I'm driving, right? And I had to exit Mill Point to South Perth. And as I'm driving, I'm going through the city, and I'm going, "Where's my phone?" I know I'm one of those guys where, I don't know, maybe it's just me. If my phone is not with me, I feel really uncomfortable. That's probably not you, right? I know you guys are godly people. It doesn't work for me. If this baby is not there, I'm like, I'm missing something. So I'm driving, and I'm going, "Is my phone with me? Did I leave it at home? Is it in my bag? Is it under my bag? Is it under the seat, the side of the seat?" And I'm just going, "Where's my phone?" You've been there before? No, 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 you haven't. I have. So I'm driving there, and next minute I realize I'm at Coburn. I missed that turn. Now don't laugh. I bet you some of you have been there before. Now don't laugh. Maybe I'm the only weak person here. I'm driving, and I'm just going, "Where is this phone?" I'm looking, I'm thinking about it, and I realize I missed Mill Point, and I'm driving, and I go, "Fiona Stanley? I missed the turn." And it's happened before. I meant to go from the freeway, turn right towards Grand Farmer, and I find myself going straight through Charles Street, and I'm in North Perth. I should be in Maylands. I'm in North Perth. Why? I was distracted. Sometimes, listen carefully, you need to understand, you and I, we're on a journey. Final destiny is to bring glory to God, and if we are not careful, the evil one, if he can't get us to sin, he will distract you. He'll put something in your way, and next thing you realize, I was so on fire for Jesus, and I did not realize I'm no longer on fire. I came to this church serving God, giving my time, giving my finances, but now I'm just don't know where I'm at. And you realize that you've been distracted for all this time, and you go, "What? I was meant to be in South Perth, but now I'm Fiona Stanley. I've lost course." You need to understand, if you call this place home, if you take your seat, if we are family, we will do whatever we can to make sure you would never, ever be distracted from your final destiny. We would help you reach that point. That means that sometimes we must have those hard conversations. There must be correction because there are blind spots that we want you to see. You know what blind spots are, right? Blind spots are spots where you can't see because from your position, you do not see it. You change lanes and you hit a car because you did not see the car because it was a blind spot. You've done that before? I've done that before. I've changed lanes thinking that there's no one behind me, but it was a blind spot and bang, my fault. blind spots. From where you are, you don't see it. But from another position, you see it. Are you with me? And you have to accept that there are people in this church here who's going to expose your blind spot because they love you. They want you to make sure you get to your final destiny. They're not picking on you. They're not picking a fight on you. They're not crushing you. They love you and they're speaking truth into your situation because they want you to get to the final destiny. They're blind spots. You may be saying, well, you know what? What I'm doing is okay. No. From your position, it's okay. But not from this position. Or how I'm living my life, it's okay. Yeah, from your position, it is. But not from this position. Oh, I'm dating that person. It's okay. Not from my position. Or how am I spending my money and going to the casino? It's okay, because everyone's doing not from my position. Or everyone's sleeping around. Everyone, you know, trying before they buy. It's okay. Yeah, maybe from your position. But not from my position. I'm always thinking about social media. I'm always thinking about my phone. I'm always checking my phone. It's okay because everyone's got the phone on their hands. Not from my position. You see, you need to understand that. We want to protect you from your final destiny. We want to see you get to the point where you bring glory to God. And sometimes the blind spots that from your position, you don't see it's being dangerous. But from our position, we say, hey, it's not good. You have to let us speak those words and correct you. We are family. We do this together. Why? God protects us. Because He loves us. He gave us His Son. Surely He'll give us protection. Why now we have to protect one another? We're family. We do this together. I stand with you. You stand with me. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We do this together. We protect you from past tragedy. Present difficulty. Future destiny. We do this together. May you feel protected at Sun Life Church. May you take your seat. May we do life together. Amen. Let me pray for you.